Welcome to Fusion International Film Festivals, the podcast. I am Stephen Mina, and today we are turning back time ever so slightly to when Steve Grossmith interviewed the legendary music producer and guitarist Jerry Leonard and the award-winning New York-based filmmaker Joan Calabrese. Jerry has worked with such names as David Bowie, Susan Vega, Laurie Anderson, Cyndi Lauper and Avril Lavigne to name but a few. Joanne started off her journey into the world of filmmaking while she was a technical director at MTV Networks, and she has since gone on to produce films that are described as educational documentaries. Let's have a listen.
I'm here with Jerry Leonard, and also I'm here with Joan Calabrese, who between them have come out of this amazing film, Prayer, short film. I suppose the best way to describe it was from synopsis. This is really about this terrible incident that happened at Charlottesville in August 12, 2017, I believe. And then Jerry, I know sort of 6 days, there was a 6 day time period between that terrible incident and then you recorded the song.
Well, we had that horrible incident in America, which once again, but very poignantly, underlined kind of the reality that if by example you unleash these aspects of humanity that are mean and cruel and separatist and worse, these kind of events can spring up and happen spontaneously. Joe and I have been working together for a number of years now, and Joe is really great at video and filmmaking, and used to come to my solo shows, Spooky Ghost shows. And, you know, she had the idea that, well, first of all, she filmed the gig, and then she had the idea very shortly afterwards, that with the sentiment of this song, Prayer, this Spooky Ghost song, Prayer, that she should do this film using the performance as a backdrop with this message of hope, really. The song is really about hope. It's really about coming back from a place where it seems all is lost. It's about coming back from that. And so Joe made this very moving film, and it kind of then took on its own life. And here we are now talking about it.
Uh-huh. Obviously, everyone will know about this, but it's all stems from the Unite the Right rally, and if I make any mistakes here, please do correct me, but I've got a good understanding of what happened. I'm really intrigued as to how that you were able to come together with Joan. I know you knew her very, very well, but even so, to come together with Joan and have this film done 6 days later, and obviously the gig that you're doing with Prayer is still pretty amazing. So it's just how you managed to come up with that timeline and say, yeah, we're going to do this, I want to do this. This is really something that I'd like to work with Joan about. I'm just very intrigued about how that happened so quickly.
Well, I would say, Steve, it probably wasn't as planned as that. We were just feeling so sad and down. And I remember, Jerry, after your gig at Rockwood, we were chatting about the vibe in the room. Everyone was just feeling really sad. And this film is very personal. It's we were trying to figure out what do we do with these feelings. And I was particularly very taken back by it. And Jerry and I, you know, we collaborated, but he really drove the message and about making sure that we end on a positive note. And that's what we tried to do. But I will say that it was this beautiful. It's this beautiful song that really was the inspiration for the film. And Jerry's music, his solo work that he does as Spooky Ghost, is so beautiful in so many ways with his ambient sound and the way that he loops everything. It would be wonderful if, I don't know, Jerry, if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about your Spooky Ghost music.
Yeah, what is the Spooky Ghost?
What is the Spooky Ghost? It's nothing to be afraid of. You know, the short answer is, I came up in bands in Dublin over the years, and when I moved to New York, I started to work as a sideman for other artists, which has been a tremendous journey. But in the meantime, I never kind of stopped writing my own music and my own songs. So Spooky Ghost became a vehicle for that in New York. It was something that I was able to do when I had some time home. Just, you know, it's very much a vehicle for my own creativity. The name stems from my last band, which was signed to Island Records around 1991, was Hinterland, and my partner in that band, his nickname for my guitar playing was Spooky Ghost. And so when I was here in New York, I needed a name. It just seemed to stick, and it's been that way ever since. So the music is, you know, an expression of the way that maybe I want to write and I want to hear music. It's how I occupy other artists' music at this point, which, so it's been a great calling card for me. But it is ambient in the sense that one aspect of music can be very emotional. And I think my connection to music is emotional, both euphoric, thoughtful, poignant, uplifting, all of these things. But it's emotional nonetheless. And I think the use of kind of ambient sound, music becomes more immersive and meditative. And so those things, I think, tend to play on our experience then. And so we experience music in a number of ways. It's kind of like synesthesia. It's like a crossing of senses where you hear the music, but you can also have your own story attached to that. And really what Joe did with the song Prayer, which is a song, you know, kind of a universal hope, Joe was struck by that. And so suggested, why don't we make something here that would resonate with this terrible event as a sense of hope? So, you know, I'm kind of coming back around to that, but I think that's how we ended up there.
Right. And it was really from our hearts, both from a musical and a visual perspective. And interestingly enough, Jerry and I have made quite a few short films, and what comes to mind, Jerry, is Palace.
Yeah.
Because his music is perfect for the type of visual art. It's like a visual artist dream to work with Jerry, because there's so many layers to the music, and it's very inspirational for a visual artist to be able to collaborate with Jerry and sort of create these pieces of film. And Prayer is the first film that's been accepted into the festivals, I think, because it does have the universal message. But it is sort of a woven art form between the visual art and the music that is, as Jerry said, very, very emotional and passionate.
I had another look on Wikipedia, and I know it's like a roll call of people that a lot of people know. There's Laurie Anderson, Suzanne Vega, David Bowie, and the like. And it's very interesting that you just said about the visual art form and music. And I always sort of associate that, particularly with Laurie Anderson.
Yeah.
And yet, on the other hand, and I kind of think of the other people you were, as I say, Sophie B. Hawkins, I think I was reading about, and even Avril Lavigne. And because that, let's be honest, that's a huge amount of different musical genres that you're crossing. But it's very interesting, the Laurie Anderson connection in particular. And I really, yeah. There were some visuals at the beginning where you're obviously playing the guitar, and I think it's White Supremacist on the right hand side showing on the screen there. And I suppose you could have put, there was a whole wealth of stuff that you could have chosen. I know you have to compress this into 3.5 or 4 minutes, but it's interesting to know what you've done previously plugs in very well to this piece, and then you brought all that with you. And I suppose it's a case of deciding what it is you want to show on screen.
No, that's a great point, because if you think about, there's a couple of places in where Jerry goes into his solos more, where really we just put candles, because we didn't, you know, there's so much oversaturation today. You know, people are being bombarded with visuals, and sometimes the absence of visuals is more powerful. And we felt like the candles in some parts of the film let the music speak, be more on stage than the visuals. So there was definitely a conscious decision there regarding when to bring in the visuals, when not to. And it was, you know, Jerry had actually mentioned to me, asked me to come down and do some recording, because he was going to try some new stuff. And that's what's so great about these solo gigs. You can experiment with your new songs and your new arrangements. So I had a friend run a camera in the back of the room, so that I was taking the camera up on the front of the room, a Hasselblad. And, you know, having the transition between the two cameras was very, very helpful in helping to create the mood in the film. So a lot of thought did go into it. But like I said, I keep going back to the song, and that is really the foundation of the message and the work that we wanted to, you know, put together.
There's a great phrase, which I know, I'm sure you've heard this, but it was a filmmaker that mentioned this, and he said, the thing is, you've got to cut through the noise. And I love that. And you just touched on that, actually, Joanne. It's making sure you, I guess, bring something to the table and cut through the noise, because you want to tell a story, but you've got to do it in such a way, because we're, like you said, we're bombarded with media and performance and news 24/7. And I suppose it's making sure that you get the right thing, the thing you really want to tell on screen.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, such is composition. It's a distillation of possibilities into one set of possibilities. And so with Joe's film, I think it's very tasteful how, you know, some of those images are arresting, but I think that's kind of the point, and that's what makes it more powerful. is to show those things, and then show the other side, you know, of things.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jerry. And even the photo of Heather Heyer, the woman who was killed at the tragedy, I went back and forth in my mind, whether or not I wanted to actually. Well, first I had to negotiate use of it with the Associated Press. That was one part of it, but also to. Did I want to show that picture of her or not? And I went back and forth, and then at the end of the day, I felt like it really would resonate with people and would be helpful to the film as from an art form. So like there's every frame, like every note when you're writing a song is important. Every frame in a film is just as important. And you think through it. You could think through it one frame for days and days and weeks and weeks before you decide which way it's going to go.
Can I just ask you, actually, Joan? You just said something that's very interesting there, because we assume when you see an image. Particularly of that woman that was killed, you'd think it would be out in the public domain for anyone to use, but it's not quite that simple. Can you just explain how that works?
Well, you have to give credit to the photographers. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people I speak to who send me photos and say, can you use this in my film? And I say, did you get permission? Usually there's a license fee for it. I mean, you have to be respectful for other people's work.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't do that. So there is a lot of that licensing things that you need to pursue in order to get the right image. I try to do most of my own photography and shooting myself, but obviously I was not in Charlottesville, Virginia on that day, so I had to rely on some of the press, the local press, and some of the agencies down there.
Okay, and so, Jerry, the message that you wanted to bring to screen with this film, are you happy with what was on screen and what you were trying to portray is pretty much what you got in the end? If that kind of makes sense.
Well, I think this is where it gets into the area of collaboration. For my part, I believe in the song, and the intent of doing the song originally was not to make this film. It was part of Jo's filming the gig, and really she was there to get some new material. That's an older song that she also got. You know, the events that transpired were kind of things happening at the same time. Then Joe had the idea of like, well, why don't we put these two things together? So if that makes sense, Steve, it was, the song is the song. But as often happens with music and visuals is, you put the two together and something bigger happens.
Yeah, something magical. No, it makes perfect sense because actually the way you're describing it, it's when you actually see it, because it is touching and moving, and I can see exactly what it is you're trying to show, but obviously it's very difficult to portray in an audio interview. But I know where you're going with this, and I can totally understand where you're coming from.
I think maybe one simple way of putting it is I think the message of the song Prayer is a very Buddhist kind of message. You know, it's one where you accept all responsibility. You accept things for what they are. But then you want to come back and offer positivity and happiness from that acceptance to yourself and to others. You know, the happiness of others is just as important as your own happiness. Mm. And deriving happiness yourself from the happiness of others. That's kind of the message from the song. In a sense, those messages are universal in mankind. And when Joe had the idea to juxtapose it with this footage from this horrific event to kind of draw attention to it and to highlight it, but yet to offer some kind of alternative and message of hope, then, that kind of message just resonates and it's there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like the music had a universal theme and then we put it in this context.
It'd be interesting to ask. I mean, we're pretty much three years into this buffoon's presidency, if you don't mind me saying it that way, and an awful lot has happened. Obviously, you've got the Me Too movement, the rise of alt-right and Breitbart, and obviously that fall in the White House. Do you see him finishing with this single presidency? Because so much, and I know what's happened, obviously, in the Democrats, and obviously they take control of, I think it's the lower house, and you always get the two confused, but do you think that he's going to be a one presidency man, or do you think he's got a chance of making it, God forbid, into the second term?
You want to take this job, or do you want me to sing?
I don't even know how to answer that. I'm sort of taking it day by day right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a wish. There's always a wish. When we look back on history, we don't have a lot of hindsight right now. But whenever I think we look back at these things like war and national white nationalism and Nazism and all of these horrible things that happened throughout the ages in mankind, we always go, oh my God, you know, that would never happen again. And we think we move on from that. I think the horrible realization is that with this, I hesitate to even say presidency, but he became the president of America. And with that, it kind of brings us back to kind of like, well, actually, maybe these qualities are inherent in human nature. They're at a base level in human nature, I hope. Mm. And I hope we can raise ourselves above that. But if we don't get past the kind of, you know, there's two cookies there, I'm going to have both of them for myself instead of sharing with my friend or my family or whoever or a stranger. If we can't get past that basic idea, then we're not going to evolve, and we're not basically going to be very nice, and we're not going to survive. And I think, you know, extrapolating that further with this clown, he's unfortunately tapped into a base nature, and it's driven by fear. Yeah. We're displaced by fear. Yeah. People are. Fear is the great driver of economies now. In my opinion, I think, you know, the new kind of terrorism is in finance. It's all of those things. And I'm not being conspiracy minded when I say this. I just say this is the new path for the same old story, which is I'm going to have two cookies. I'm not going to give the other cookie to the other person. And, you know, until we get past that, we're kind of at this, and this highlights it. Hopefully this doesn't have to last for two terms for us to get the message.
Uh-huh. Well said.
Yeah, brilliantly said.
Hopefully we can get the message in 2 years and we can turn it around now. You know, that would be nice, you know. And I have faith. I have faith that I think people's good nature, once you get past the fear-mongering and they're coming to take away your daughter's kind of mentality. They're climbing over the border wall and they're going to rape your daughter. You know, once we can get past that stupidity of and being blindsided by these snake oil salesmen of fear, then we can get to human nature, which is, oh, you're hungry? Have a cookie. It's all good.
I
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And the reason I mentioned the him is because of the comments he made after what happened, which is sort of still beggars belief. So what do you think about Jan? What's your thoughts?
That made it so much worse, his reaction, where he wouldn't take a leadership stand, you know, and I think people were just, that was sort of the beginning of, I guess, the lack of leadership, if you will, in this, you know, in our current situation. That was just made it, because it was a reflection. He's supposed to be sort of representing America, and his reaction to that horrible tragedy was, he changed his, supposedly, I guess he got some feedback from the politicians, but his initial reaction was so horrible, I couldn't imagine anyone else reacting like that.
Thank you. And I suppose I always try and finish on a positive, and I'm going to say this. Obviously, I think the film is absolutely brilliant. I really, really love what you've done between you. For both of you, your sort of closing thoughts of where you think we'll be in 3, 4, 5 years' time.
Joe, do you want to go?
Do you mean in America or with filmmaking?
Well, in the US, really.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful with the midterm election results are just, we have got, it's amazing to see the amount of women and diversity now in the House. So it's I'm very, very hopeful. And I think that power structure is going to shift now in Washington, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that unravels. I will say, though, from a filmmaking art perspective, I think, you know, this is the way Jerry and I sort of process how we're feeling. that day. We wanted to share a message of hope with everybody, and I think more folks, artists who are doing things like this will be helpful to many, many people, because we've won awards now all over the world for the film, so it's very inspirational. Jerry, any last thoughts for you?
Yeah, well, no, well said. You know, I think more than ever at these times, art is a very good thing. It's a very positive thing, because it's able to say things and speak to people in a language that's beyond our normal kind of argumentative he said she said kind of language, which can easily get tangled up in opinion and misinformation and everything like that. Whereas art just makes a statement, and people interpret it in their own way. And so it's very valuable. And so, you know, maybe one of the good things to come from these troubled times is that good art will keep emerging. And I'd love to see that in the continuation of that. And hopefully, you know, 5 or 6 years' time, we'll be looking back at this saying, well, that was a lesson that we won't need to repeat. You know, right. And we could learn from, you know, that would be great.
But when you mean Bernie Sanders is sitting in the White House, hopefully, or whoever you like. I'm putting words into my mouth, but you know what I mean. But yeah, it's I suppose the thing is, you know, when there's darkness and you see light, I suppose that's the good in humankind.
Uh-huh. So yeah, and I think I think this whole charade that's going on right now, it's very much based in, I kind of touched upon it, you know, that the new terrorism is in financial districts and stuff. I do think that war has shifted. War has shifted from the battlefields to our bank accounts and our lives. And that's what's kind of going on right now. It's greed. It's yes. Just pure, simple greed. And until we can get past that, you know, we need to learn that lesson that the greed is not good it's not good for people. You know, people have to realize what's good for them, and that all that they're being sold is not good. They, you know, whether it's the shopping mall or the... don't get me started on... don't get me started. You know, but we need to, you know, we people need to become empowered. Art is good for that.
No, that's a lovely thing to say. Listen, thank you very much, guys. Really, really appreciate it.